Sandra reliably informs me, as she spent so much time on it, that every man, woman and child, we are 102 people in the new address book. So I want you to look around today, because there are a great number away, and that's not for wrong reasons. There are people working, there are people on holiday. There's at least 10 I know in London. So maybe we should have met in London today. Anyway, what I want you to do is to see who isn't here and tell them to listen to this word, because this word is for us all. And it's important as a church that we all hear this, and we are all, I include myself, are open to this. So I want to pray, and then we're going to go. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I want to say now, not my words, but yours, Father. Not my words, but your actions, Holy Spirit. And I pray that, Lord, even when people listen to this who are unable to be here today for whatever reason, that you will come, Holy Spirit, and do a work. That, Father, we are on this journey as family together. And, Lord, I don't want brothers and sisters to lose out on what you want to do with us in bringing us into the fullness of your plans and purposes. So I ask for your help now. I ask that you move, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. And if they don't know how to access this word, then send them to Eric, because he will give them the password to enter the membership part of the website. We believe that God has called us to be a church of hope and restoration, to bring his hope and restoration. And within that, Al, could I have that light off earlier, please? In that, we are on a journey. And you've heard me say this before, it's not so much about the facility, it's about what God is doing with us that matters the most. And there's a good reason for that, because God chooses to outwork his kingdom on earth through his chosen people. That's you and me. He's looking for us to be strong in relationship with him, and as channels that allow the Holy Spirit to move freely. And to move freely, the Holy Spirit needs blockages not to be in the way. That's why I'm speaking now, because of what we feel God's already said to us this morning. We don't want to put things in boxes. We want to flow with the Spirit. We want that sediment. We want that silt out of our lives to enable God to be more in our lives. And the reason we want that is because if we're not free within ourselves, how can we expect to be used of God to bring his hope and restoration if we've got blockages in our lives, if we're not free ourselves? Prophetically, God has said to us continuously in our prayer meetings, and I encourage you, if you don't make them, start making them, because they are the hub, they are the core of our church. We won't go anywhere if we're not praying. God is speaking to us about breaking through as a people in our relationship with him. And that's both individually and us as a family together. So that's Rugeley Community Church. So that's not for the few, that's for all of us. And for us to be those people who flow and allow the Spirit to flow through us, to be able to bring that hope and restoration, his hope and restoration, we have to be a people who know that freedom. So I believe this is a significant day. Don't feel, oh, this is forgiveness, I've got nothing to forgive. Because as we will see, sometimes our unforgiveness is so deep, we've been very good at masking it. We make and feel that things are okay. But what we've got within us will always bear fruit in perhaps the way we act or react. So this morning might be emotionally tough for some people. But we walk this together as family. Okay? There's nothing wrong in displaying our weakness, because in our weakness is God's strength. And we cannot bring the freedom of God's hope and restoration to the outside world if we are bound in unforgiveness. And that's as individuals or whether that's as a church. And today, I believe, is a fresh start for us. It's the next step on our journey. It's us moving away from the past, but also setting us free from the past. Because forgiveness isn't something we do. I'm not moving, Sam, is it? Well, I'm moving, but the... thank you. Forgiveness isn't something we do for others. We do it so we can get well and move on. You know, I believe most people have a misunderstanding about forgiveness, and that includes Christians. Because I think we feel we don't heal in order to forgive. So we feel, well, we have to get right before we forgive. Actually, no, we need to forgive in order so we can heal. And that's a difference. So we don't heal in order to forgive. We don't get ourselves right so that we enable. It's the other way around. We forgive so that we are in order that we are able to heal. And in truth, many of us find it hard and tough forgiving those who have deeply wounded us. And it hurts us. We'll say quotes like, well, it wasn't fair. It's not right. How can I forgive? They do not deserve it. And yet equally, people will say that forgiveness is a good thing. Would you agree with that? Heard. But C.S. Lewis says this. He says, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have to forgive something. And that's a telling remark. That's a telling statement. When we get into a situation with where our heart has been stomped on, our emotions have been ripped to shreds, and we're in a hard situation where forgiveness seems so unnatural, the last thing our emotions are telling us is to forgive. Because we've been hurt. We've been damaged. And it does hurt. It does hurt. And that's why we need mornings like this morning. We need that little extra help of the Holy Spirit and one another to come and help us. Because we are to forgive. But why are we to forgive? Well, we're going to look at some reasons why. Then we're going to go through some prayer corporately. Then there might be things that we need to do individually. Then we will have communion. See, we can be quick to discount the idea of forgiveness because we think it's a type of pretending that nothing's happened. Oh, it's no big deal. Don't worry about that. Well, actually, that's not true. When we honestly confront the idea of forgiveness, this very act is putting us in a place where we're acknowledging that a wrong was done. So here's something for us to consider. Forgiveness acknowledges that there was a wrong committed. A wrong that was done. Something that's bad enough that needs forgiving. And forgiving is not acting as if a wrong was not important. Forgiveness is actually confronting the issue, admitting that a serious wrong was done to us. So at the outset, I want you to remember these three points that I'm going to put up. Because otherwise, there are deep hurts of unforgiveness in this church. Because this is life. This is the way the world and people treat us, I'm afraid. And what I don't want you doing is defaulting to your defense mode and closing down with, no, that's not me. I don't need that. Neither are we digging for things that are not there, but we need this openness and we need to stay open, particularly in our emotions and our feelings about God and through His Holy Spirit wants to say and do with us in regards to forgiveness and unforgiveness. So I want you to have these three comments, truths on your heart to keep your heart open as we go through this. And the first is this. Forgiveness does not mean that what they did to you was right. Okay? So we're not brushing the issue under the carpet by saying, I forgive, everything's okay. That's not what it's about. So remember that. Secondly, forgiveness does not mean that they get off free, scot-free. They will have to answer to God for what they have done. But He is the judge, not you. Then thirdly, forgiveness does not mean that you give up all your rights. Forgiveness does not make you worthless. In fact, it's the opposite. Forgiveness moves us from victim to victor. As a victor, you can get to step out the way and let God have a direct line to that person. And I think God can deal better with them than when we can. Do we not? Yeah. As a victor, it means that you are relieved of the burden you've been carrying, because unforgiveness is a burden that weighs heavy on our hearts and our emotions. As a victor, it frees you from a prison of torment, because no matter how hard we try to suppress that unforgiveness, that hurt, it's always there, as we will see. And as victor, it closes a door which allows the enemy to have access to you. Again, we will see what I mean by that. Forgiveness allows you to say, I choose life. I choose to give grace. I choose to let this person go into God's hands. I am not going to be their judge. It means that you are no longer, that I am no longer the captive to them or the situation. When we forgive, we are no longer powerless. We are no longer the victim. We are no longer the one who has been acted upon. When we forgive, we boldly stand and say, you will not dictate the way I respond. You will not dictate who I am because of this injustice. Because that's what we feel it is, isn't it? An injustice has been committed against us. We want revenge. We want things to be made right. So what does Jesus say about injustice? Does he say, go for them with all your might and with all your vengeance and with all your wrath? No, he doesn't. In respect to injustice, Jesus says this, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That isn't quite the response the world wants, is it? But actually, it's a radical response that Jesus is asking of us in regards to injustice. Instead of demanding rights, he's saying, give them up freely. He's encouraging us not to keep score, but to love and to forgive. See, if we have hearts that are demanding justice and repayment for what's happened to us, for the sins that have been done against us and the wrongs, then we will be dealt with the same prescription that we're asking God to do to others. The way we deal with people is how we will be treated. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. They're sobering words, aren't they? See, justice is the law of God, and justice is good. The world tries to live by the law of justice. That's why we have police. That's why we have courts. It sort of comes across in the world, though, as if you hurt me, I can hurt you. If you wrong me, then that wrong must be made right. Our sense of justice in the world understands this. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. Very, very fair. That's what we demand. That's what we want. But you know, if we want justice, then we must expect to live by the same rules. It's the law of good. It's the law of God, and it's good and fair. But you know, in the area of unforgiveness, wanting justice allows Satan to shine. Because he's the master prosecutor, the master accuser. Satan keeps us very much locked in as victims. And if we want to follow the line of justice, then that leads to another problem. Because none of us could ever hope for eternity if we received the justice we deserved. Only because of Jesus are we in a place of grace and mercy. If we live in a place of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, we live in a place where Satan can't go. Do you know that? We live in a place of victory. Justice is good. Justice has its place. But mercy is better. Much energy is expended in keeping our anger, hurts, and fears pushed down because of unforgiveness, because of injustice. But if we live in grace and mercy, releasing and forgiving others, we will find that our yoke is easy and our burden is light. To live in the victory of forgiveness is the key to forgiveness. And let us consider this also. Forgiveness is the only road to freedom. The only other choice to forgiveness is to hold on to bitterness and anger. How many of us could name someone that they know whose life is just like that, holding on to bitterness and anger? And the way that they live their lives, and the way that it affects their lives, the way that it ruins their lives. And to hold on to a wrongdoing doesn't bear fruit of the right kind. Consider these two words of wisdom. One is a Chinese proverb where it says, "Whoever opts for revenge should dig two graves." And then Anne Lamont of Travelling Mercies once said, "Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die." Hear that? Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. And that's just what unforgiveness is in our lives. It's like a poison. It has a rippling effect in our lives. It affects our thinking, our actions, our reactions, and our hurts, and I've said this before, our hurts become our wisdom. And we judge and we condone because it feels right to us. Our wisdom says, yes, that's how it should be. But you know, it doesn't hurt the one that hurts you. It does nothing in their lives. It just binds you up into a life of torment, causing us to have bitterness, hatred, and anger. And you know, it blocks the fullness of God working in your life. And I ask, does that sound like a road to freedom? No. Jesus says this, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So what is the measure that your life is overflowing with? Is it a life overflowing in the freedom of unforgiveness? Or is it a life of torment overflowing in unforgiveness and all that that brings? There's one more statement to consider when considering forgiveness. And if these other statements haven't touched our hearts, then this next one should. Forgiveness is not Jesus' suggestion. If we haven't picked up, even in the verses we've read already, God isn't asking us to forgive those around us. He's telling us, He's commanding us to forgive others. You know, the greatest crime that was ever committed by humanity was when Jesus was murdered on the cross. Jesus wasn't just a good man, he was the Son of God. He healed, he taught, he blessed, he gave and shared of himself. And mankind's response was, nail him to a cross and mock him for 6 hours while he bled to death. He endured it because he had to pay the atoning payment for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. So the innocent paid the debts of the guilty. My debts, your debts. We, each of us, are responsible for putting Jesus on that cross. And our sins held him there. Because our sins required him to die for us. And you know, it's a debt that sometimes continues to grow as we continue to sin in our life. I don't think any of us could have any grounds to argue if Jesus' last words were, I want justice. But they weren't, were they? Father, forgive them. This is a man that's been nailed to a cross, an innocent man nailed to a cross, who slow death for you and me. And what's his first words? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I just want you to close your eyes because I want us to let the truth of that come through. I want to ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus here this morning? Will you know the forgiveness of the Father? God is alive today and active in this church. And we are here only by the grace of God through the price that He has paid for us. I want justice, the world would have screamed. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you haven't got that living relationship, then you need to talk to someone after. You can live in the freedom of the forgiveness that Christ has bought from the cross. But let us also, as Christians, you can open your eyes now. I don't want you nodding off. You know, as Christians, we need to keep the cross and what Jesus did for central to our lives. Because it will guide, it will decide how we live our lives if we're living a life where the cross is at the center. Isn't that an awesome statement that Jesus made? The Son of God upon a cross, innocent, said, Father, forgive them. Isn't that an awesome statement? Instead of justice, Jesus forgave us. He chose grace and mercy, not justice. Jesus took our place and paid that debt in full. No one barely makes it into heaven. You're either in by a mile or you miss by a mile. But you can't be in between. You can't be either. You're either saved and in and added, or you miss it by a mile. And if Jesus is your Lord and Savior this morning, if He's my Lord and Savior this morning, then you have received the fullness of God's forgiveness. Is that correct? Yes. So then, therefore, we must allow Jesus to lead our lives. He is the standard. And we must be completely forgiving. If we've been completely forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross, Jesus is our lead, Jesus is our example, then we must be fully forgiving, should we not? He's the standard. How can you argue with a man that's been on the cross and said, Father, forgive them? What right have we to argue that? We don't. We don't. He did that freely for us. He is the benchmark. You can't ask for mercy for yourself and justice for the person who's hurt or harmed you. As with Jesus, it's all or nothing. It's mercy without justice, or it's justice without mercy in regards to unforgiveness. You can have mercy, or you can have justice, but there's consequences to each of those. And you can't have them both. You can't play God. I'm sorry. God has set the standard. Forgive those. Forgive them. There are not only choices to be made in regards to forgiveness, there are also, as I said, consequences to our choice. Matthew 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, says Jesus, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So unforgiveness affects us. It affects us spiritually, and I believe in cases it affects us physically. Because in unforgiveness, it stirs up bitterness, hate, anger. It stirs up those things that are not good for us. Paul urges us to follow Christ's lead when he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This is so important for us, family, that we are forgiving with one another. Because we will take the forgiveness that we have received through Jesus Christ to those people in the community that we live who will more often than not slap us in the face. But we have to show them forgiveness as Christ showed us forgiveness. We will have people sitting next to each other, maybe sitting next to you, who you're going to have to cope with because they may be new babes in Christ. And they may do all the things that you just think are so bad. But they are babes. And you will have to encourage them and you will have to forgive them at times. As they will have to forgive you. That's the way it works. We take the love of Christ into the community. This is not just a holy huddle for us in showing forgiveness. It's taking that forgiveness Christ has done and shown for us to a world that doesn't know him, to a world that won't act as we may act coming into church. But these are the people that we are to reach. And Jesus said we are to pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. The same way we forgive is the same way God forgave us. He's the example. He's the lead. And forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. Forgiveness is a wise choice. But at the end of the day, for an obedient Christian, it isn't simply the wisest choice. It is the only choice. If you want to argue with me with that at the end, then we'll go through Scripture and we'll do that. But there isn't any argument. Because Jesus on the cross said, forgive them. He is our Lord. He is our Saviour. He is our lead. No, we're not going to go digging for things that aren't there. But neither are we foolishly going to ignore that there is unforgiveness in this church. And that's not necessarily with each other. That can be, as we will see, because of the world we live in and the life we live and the families we have. That's right. I believe the Holy Spirit's here and wants to do a work in regards to unforgiveness. And this is an important step, church, because this is another step towards us being the people that we've been called to bring God's hope and restoration. It's key. It's key, not only to us as a church, but unforgiveness, asking God to take that away is key to freedom. But it means we're going to have to go to a place that some of us don't want to go. That some of us try to suppress. It's a place where there is much hurt. And in some cases, even hatred of the acts and the words and the things that have been done and said to us. But keep focused on those truths. Forgiveness does not mean that what they did to you was right. Forgiveness does not mean that they get off free. Forgiveness does not mean you give up all your rights. I want to pray. Father, Holy Spirit, I ask you now, will you come and do a healing work in this church? I ask you, Lord, that you will release unforgiveness within the family here. Lord, forgiveness is vital to deliverance and to freedom. And I ask you that hearts will not close down in defense, but will be open to know the freedom of what forgiveness brings. In Jesus' name, amen. So who is it? Who is it that we have to forgive? Might be a mother. Might be a father. Might be a brother. Might be a sister. Could be a husband. Could be a wife. Could be a friend. Could be a neighbor. Could be a work colleague. It could be your employer. It could be your pastor. It could be your pastors that you may have had. Some of us need to let go of what's happened in the past in this church. And in me saying this, I'm not saying it was right. Remember what we've got here. But I know from what people tell me, I know there's issues from when Victory was planted. Now, we're not going to judge. We're not going to wrong them right in that. What I want you to know is the freedom from that. I want Lord to bless Victory and to do whatever they are called to do of God. That's their place. God has our agenda. But what I don't want is anchors left in Victory because people haven't forgiven what was wrong. And okay, if it was wrong, it was wrong. But listen, I want you to live in the freedom now of today, of this season. So maybe some of us have got to let go of that unforgiveness, of the way that it was done, the things that were said, and the way it happened. We cannot turn the clock back, but we can be free of it to move on. Now in that broader context, what is it that we specifically have to forgive for? Maybe it's some of the things I've just mentioned in relates to Victory. Maybe it's with those that I've listed, maybe it's rejection. Maybe you've been deprived of love. Maybe your mum or your dad didn't show that love that you saw in others. And you find that hard to forgive them for that. Maybe it was an injustice that was done. And you just feel so unfair that they got away with that. or that situation happened. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe it was physical, verbal, sexual. Maybe you feel betrayed. Maybe you feel and have felt neglected because of what someone has said or a situation that you have been in. So how are we gonna deal with this? We're gonna come up one at a time? No. Because in some there might not be. I say we're not digging for what isn't there, but we do want the Spirit to wash what is there away today so that we can move forward in the freedom of this area of unforgiveness. So we're going to do it a specific way. I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to lead you in prayer. Now, if you're brave, you'll follow after me what I'm going to read out. Maybe if you feel not so quite brave, you can say it under your breath, but you need to verbalize it. That's important. So I'm going to lead it through like you would on a marriage. So I'm not going to say, do you take? Don't worry about that. I did that last weekend. Okay. But it is important we verbalize what's happening. And then I'm going to pray a prayer of authority over you all. And then we'll move on from there. Because it doesn't have to be floaty. No, this is set steps that we need to take. But I want you to know the seriousness of what we're doing, because it will bring freedom to you individually that affects us all as a family in bringing that hope and restoration. So let's close our eyes. Because at the end of the day, this is now between you and God. We worship you, Lord. Yes, we do, Lord. We come and we acknowledge our need, Lord, today more so than ever. Lord, we ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit now to move through us and help us. We choose mercy over judgment. We want to give gifts of forgiveness to those who have hurt us and those who don't deserve it, Lord. We want to defeat the enemy and take away his legal right to harm us. Help us, Lord. So I'm going to read out a prayer now, and I will leave gaps. And if some want to say out loud, that's fine. If you don't and say out loud, that's fine. But don't be worried about the silence. I just want you to verbalize it if you need to verbalize it. Father, I choose to forgive the ones who have hurt me so deeply and sinned against me. Yeah. I forgive my mother. I forgive my father. I forgive my brothers. I forgive my sisters. If you need to say that, then say it. I forgive my husband, I forgive my wife, I forgive my employers. And my pastors, and my friends, and everyone who has sinned against me. I give them the gift of unconditional forgiveness with no strings attached. They owe me nothing. I trust God to turn it for good. Lord, I also forgive myself for my own failures and mistakes. I let go of it all. Lord, now I want to confess my sins. Yeah, Holy Spirit. I have judged those whom I have mentioned in bitterness and anger. I want to be free. Forgive me, Father, for dishonoring my parents, my pastor or pastors, my friends. Forgive me for becoming part of the problem, rather than part of the solution. It was my own pride that was demanding justice. Okay, you're doing well, keep going. This is long, but it's thorough. Lord, I want to be free. I want to break the hold of the enemy in my life. I put the cross of Jesus Christ between my heart and everything I was due to reap from the law of sowing and reaping. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to bring up whatever specific issues you want to bring up, so that I can forgive specifically and repent specifically, because I do choose mercy over judgment. I tear up all these IOUs and I throw them at the foot of the cross. I say that your grace is sufficient for me. And I loose it all into your capable hands. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I now give you, Lord, permission to move powerfully in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And just keep your eyes closed. Holy Spirit, what you have heard now, come and do your work. Come and bring that release. Come and bring that freedom. And I want to pray in the authority as leader of this church. Father, I take away the rights of the enemy over the lives of these people. Satan, I break your generational hold over God's people. I command you to loose them and let them go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God's holy Son. Free them by the blood of Jesus that has never lost its power. I free you, women of God. I free you, men of God. I free you, children of God. Mercy now triumphs over judgment. I break off all of these controlling fears, controlling anger, rejection, and every hold of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. I free you to rise to your full potential, church, in Jesus Christ, your Saviour and your Lord. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed over all the power of the enemy. We put the enemy under our feet and step up into the grace of God, in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Amen. Now, as part of this healing, some of us may want to say something. I want to say something as leader of this church. What I'm about to say, we have done, as it were, within leadership meetings. But in preparation for today and in making sure, as it were, our room was clear, I needed to say this publicly. I need to ask God for forgiveness for past sins in leadership. I'm not here to judge and make comment on that judgment, but there were sins committed. And I'm not going into detail. Some of you will know them, some of you will not. But we've had failed marriages, we've had sin within the church. And I know that I need to publicly ask for forgiveness from God for that. This is His church. There is not just happened on one occasion, this has happened on two or three occasions. And I'm not here to judge those individuals. Here but the grace of God go I. I'm not standing on a platform saying we're in a better place. Here but the grace of God go I. But I do need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, for the way that that pictorial picture showed what you were, and it wasn't you, Lord. I'm sorry for when we get it wrong as leaders. We are human. I know that's hard to believe sometimes. Because we say the strangest things. But we are. But Lord, I ask you for that forgiveness. And I want to ask you, the family, I want to say sorry to you for what some of you have had to go through because of that. I want to say sorry for maybe the hurts, feelings, or betrayal that you may have felt because a leader let you down. And that's happened in other churches. Some of you have come from other churches where maybe that has happened. I'm sorry. As a leader, I stand here and say, I'm sorry for that. Because we are the bride of Christ. You know, it's serious about what we are as a church. We're not a club. And I think some of us need to grasp that. I know we've preached on this. I do feel some of us need to grasp this sometimes. And hear what I'm not saying. But sometimes we think, oh, well, I could do that on Sunday, or I could go to church. Oh, I'll go do that. We're about serious business here, folks. How serious? Well, an innocent Son of God died upon the cross. And what are we portraying? Why are we not surprised when the world turns and says, church is just a load of hypocrites? Look what's happened here, there and everywhere. That's why we need to be on our guard. That's why we need to put Ephesians 6 armor on. We're in a war. And you know, Satan, unfortunately, is not a fair fighter. He will take down whoever, whether it's the leader of a church or the youngest babe in a church. He's not particular about who he takes down. But he will take them. So what is it we want to portray to this world? We are different. Not because of us, but because of who lives in us. We are different because we have the Holy Spirit within us. And let us not look back and tut, because we've asked for that forgiveness. Let us look back and say, Lord, by the grace of God, here go I. And let us be on our guard for the future. Because otherwise it will happen again. Don't anyone think that their marriage is strong enough not to happen. When pride comes in, the enemy strikes and his sword is sharp. That is why we are family together. That is why we're here for one another. Whatever our position in the church, we talk to one another. We should talk more to one another. Don't ever put your pastor on a pedestal. Don't do that. They're only human. It's unfair on them. They're only human. Let us walk this together. Let's acknowledge and let us know the responsibility and the authority they have and pray for them. I know people pray for me and I'm ever so thankful of that. But continue to pray for them. But don't put them on a pedestal. Don't put them there, because there will be times when I will let you down because I'm human. I'll have to say sorry. I will get it wrong. I probably have said something to you already in my leadership that's caused you huff. Then I ask for that forgiveness. just as I forgive you for when I felt you've caused me huff. Family isn't nice and neat and boxed. Family is what we are together. And unfortunately, family is made up of you and me. And we're not all the same, are we? Our characters are different. Our looks are different. Our attitudes are different. But the one thing we do have is Jesus Christ. So that's why I needed to say that publicly today. I'm not here to dig up the passing, but I feel we need to be free from that, to move on. There are some things that go back to foundational issues that we have asked for forgiveness for today. And I believe we will see the fruit of that forgiveness in the days to come. Now, it would be brave if anyone else needed to say anything, but I'm going to give that opportunity. And I'm not asking you to put your linen on the, your dirty linen out on the washing line. That's not what it's about. But if someone else needs to say anything publicly, that's fine. I will give that opportunity.